right. That was little boy Brandon right there.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I am Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with Brandon Glazer and Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro, attorneys from Glazer and Associates.
Brandon, PA. Of course, is the future host of Condo Craze and HOAs in about 25 years
That's
or so.
That's right, and right. It'll probably still be going strong and as popular as ever. And it is a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio. The number is 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. And I got to tell you, the one coming up in November in Hollywood is starting to get sold out very quickly, so you may want to listen up when we make those announcements. You can see who the show sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You can link to our Facebook page. You can link to our HOA and condo blog at www.hoa-condoblog.com. You can join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show. And, of course, if you want to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. And the law firm's website, that's at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show we tried to make radio history, but failed. All we wanted was for one person to call in and say something nice about their board of directors. Just something, anything. And it didn't happen. We also spoke about who would make a better president in your own condo or HOA, Obama or Romney. We discussed the no-sign rule in community associations during election season. We spoke about whether judges should be appointed or elected and the fight between the Florida Bar and the Florida Republican Party. And we finished up speaking about the problems with the rules made by the Division of Arbitration in Tallahassee.
Yeah, busy, busy show last week, Karen. And those rules really need to be changed because, you know, there's no question that the whole purpose of the arbitration statute was to keep the condo cases out of the courtroom. But to remind our listeners, if you now live in a condo with even one commercial unit in it, you are not eligible to participate and fight your case in arbitration. And unfortunately for you, you are forced to go to court. And, Scott, it's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, again, Eric, the other problem with the statute is that even if you go to arbitration, that arbitrator can send you to a mediation within the arbitration system. And then if the case doesn't settle, instead of going back to the arbitrator to finish up on the cheap, you're basically forced to start the whole process all over again in a court of law, and everything you did up until that point was a complete waste of time and money.
Yeah, now, to me, this is really a significant issue. I mean, really significant. And it definitely needs to be addressed by the Florida legislature in the next legislative session. But I think it's pretty clear, as we all know, despite the fact that about half of all Floridians now live in some type of community association, for whatever reason, you know, the Florida legislature treats associations down here as the redheaded stepchild and ignores again and again association issues literally year after year after year, unless, of course, you're a developer or a banker. Then, of course, they were all ears, like taking away warranties from HOAs. You know, then it's important. All right, moving on. 2 weeks ago, we blogged about the fact that I recently saw that there's a law firm that's teaching the condominium board certification course in Spanish somewhere down in Kendall. And the question that we asked in the blog was, should they be? Now, I try to show both sides of the argument, and I wrote at the time that it certainly can be argued that, you know, maybe it's more important that people learn the law in a language they understand rather than just being taught the law in a language they don't understand. You know, maybe comprehension should, of course, be the objective. But on the other hand, when you factor into the mix that all the statutes, the administrative code, all the court decisions, the arbitrations decisions, and then, of course, you throw it into the mix that the fact that your declaration, your bylaws, your articles, your rules and regulations, all of those things are written in English, you know, it can certainly also be argued that the ability to understand all of those documents can only be mastered if the reader knows and understands English.
Hello.
Yeah, well, I would guess that many Floridians don't know or remember this, but in 1988, the voters of this state passed a constitutional amendment that states, Section 9A, English is the official language of the state of Florida.
Yeah, repeat that, Scott. Repeat that, because I don't think people are actually going to believe that. Constitutional amendment.
Section 9A, English is the official language of the state of Florida.
Yeah. Go to Miami.
The legislature shall have the power to enforce this section by appropriate legislation. So at least one time, the residents of this state made it clear that they would want English spoken here as the primary language. As a result of the amendment, there is no question that the legislature can pass a simple statute that says condominium and HOA meetings shall be conducted in English and certification courses shall be taught in English. Again, the question is, should they?
Well, the question is, where does it stop? Should the state eventually let community association managers pass their exams in another language? Should the state let community association managers take continuing education courses in a language other than English? Do we then move on to attorneys and doctors being allowed to take their exams in another language?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, I was once at a board meeting in Sunny Isles Beach where the entire board meeting, the annual meeting, was handled by the board not in Spanish or English, but actually in French. And it made the English-speaking members of that community pretty upset. Yet, there was no law against it. So since there's no law against it, you know, the question is, in Hispanic communities, should we allow the association's business to be conducted in Spanish? How about in Haitian communities? Is it okay to conduct business in Creole? Now, what are your thoughts? I'd really love to hear from our listeners in this regard. English only, or, you know, does any language goes, you know, but let's find out what the readers of the blog would thought about this topic. By the way, call in number on this issue, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Scott, start us off about the blog.
All right. Marilyn writes in, and she says, Dear Eric, if you want the association owners to participate and abide by the rules, what harm is done in publishing rules and regulations in another language? Yes, English is the official language, but could a translator be provided for others?
You know, and certainly maybe Marilyn makes a good point. The associations can hire a translator at a board meeting, but again, that's another out-of-pocket expense that associations certainly don't have extra money laying around now. Again, no law against hiring an interpreter. But let me ask you this. What language do you conduct the meeting in? Do we have a Spanish to English translator or an English to Spanish translator? You know, which way do you go?
Right. And Penny writes in and says, I vote for English, constitutional amendment aside. If I were in an HOA or condo in France, Haiti, or Spain, it would be important for me to learn the country's language. I don't understand why this simple concept is hard to understand. Learn the language and culture of the places you want to live or visit.
That certainly makes sense. And you'll see some of the majority of the statements feel the same way. Randy writes in, and Randy is actually a board president, and he says, no, English is the official language of our country, and they make it so hard on the boards when they don't follow the rules that are set in place many years before they bought into the association.
Who are they?
I don't know who they is. They want everybody to change and adopt to the rules of their home country, and they have little cliques of the people that speak their language at the clubhouse and the pool or recreational areas. They come up with the wildest stories of being discriminated because they don't understand us when they refuse to learn the language that is legal in this country, and especially in Florida where the population is so diverse. I guess they refers to anybody that don't speak English.
Yeah, and what's illegal about not speaking English?
So follow it up, Scott. Joy writes in and says,
all right. Dear Eric, there have been too many occasions for Spanish-speaking immigrants, concessions. Our national language, one that has been learned by all immigrants over the years, is English. Unless a common language is spoken by all, it promotes division and factions. Most natives learn a few phrases in any foreign language that is spoken by an influx of immigrants from a particular language background in order to make them feel welcome. Assimilation is essential, and a huge part of that is learning to speak the language of the country where you live. Learning English makes them a part of rather than apart from.
Good point. Renat writes in and says, I'm an American by choice, and I'm proud of it. I came to this country as an immigrant in 1955. I learned English, and I became a citizen. I swore at the time that I would honor the Constitution and all the U.S. laws, forsaken all others. When did this change?
Right. And Michelle writes in and says, English should be used by everyone. Our grandparents learned the language in order to stay here and work. This should not change. Why have there been, we have been too gracious and make it too easy to make those needing to learn the language. Wouldn't happen in other countries.
Oh, I'm sure she's an expert. Pamela writes in and says, having come myself from a foreign country and having lived in three different countries, it was only common courtesy to learn the language of the country you're in. Now, living in this wonderful country of the United States, the language is English. The laws are in English, and all business should only be conducted in English. Aren't the bylaws and governing documents of communities written in English?
Yes, they certainly are. How about we just finish these last two, and then we'll take some calls that are starting to heat up. Mary writes in and says, English first, folks. I'm of Greek descent, and my family spoke Greek in our homes, but everyone spoke English and understood they had to become American Greeks.
And Susan Emery writes in and says, my grandparents came from Sweden and spoke only Swedish. They were not given the luxury of having their language added to the English and in the U.S. It has been easier for them, but with great difficulty, they learned English. I work in a hospital where there's an influx of Spanish-speaking patients and has made it difficult to communicate. They are not learning our language. We have to learn theirs. What happened to this country where we all allow another group of people to dictate the language? Anything is now English and Spanish. Instructions on appliances, grocery items, signs, menus. What happens to the fact that you must learn the language of the country in which you settle?
That certainly seems to be the majority of the opinions being written in, but we'd love to know what our listeners think on this topic. We see we've got some calls on hold. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. When we'll get back, we'll expand a little, and we'll ask whether or not persons in this country illegally should even be able to serve on your board. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
Need insurance for your condo or HOA? How about getting a question answered by your agent without it taking days or weeks? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz, because we specialize in providing insurance to condo associations and homeowners associations and are a clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989 and has written over $70 million in insurance premiums. And we're an independent insurance agency representing many insurance companies, which means we can provide the best coverage at the best price. Mack, Mack & Waltz can also provide insurance to unit owners, homeowners, the association, and even auto, boat, life, and health insurances. Our staff consists of licensed professionals, some of whom hold designations such as Certified Risk Manager and Certified Insurance Counselor. And in the event disaster strikes, Mac, Mac, and Waltz is quick to respond. Our offices have their own generator and our own management system is web-based, so we can operate anywhere we have an internet connection. The staff at Mac, Mac, and Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mac, Mac, and Waltz can save you money and improve your customer service, visit our website, macinsurance.com, or call Brandon Levy at 954-640-6225. Mac, Mac, and Waltz. Remember us when it comes to insurance.
Never wait for that first drop of water to come through your ceiling before you decide that it's time to check your roof. Once damage has set in, repairs can get much more expensive. Making a moderate investment in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing is the ultimate way to protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure and limit consequential damages due to unexpected roof problems. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with their annual service agreements that prevents leaks, provides emergency service, and increases the life expectancy of your roof. Best Roofing provides roof condition surveys and comprehensive detailed recommendations. They outline your priorities and give you a realistic budget, so there's no unwelcome surprises. Best Roofing service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, performing minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking and minor counter flashing repair, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Or visit online at bestroofing.net. That's bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls on English versus Spanish, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners, want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Send us a quick email.
All right, why don't we take Jill in Juno Beach. How are you, Jill?
I'm well. How are you?
How can we help you?
Well, I'm calling about your topic of English language in our country. I definitely think everyone needs to speak our language. I work in the medical community, and we are obligated and have to provide paid interpreters to people that don't speak our language, mm-hmm. which is absolutely ludicrous. It's, you know, if you come to our country and you're getting the benefits of our country, and I will say this, a lot of the people we have to provide the interpretation services for
right.
either have no insurance or they're on our state paid insurance,
right.
and we have to go to the extra expense of providing an interpreter for them. And I don't know of any other country that does that for us.
I so got to say this, Jill. Yeah, let me say this, though. If I'm thinking about how someone coming into an emergency room and that person, if they don't get their point across, if they don't get their message clear, that person may die in your hands. So maybe it doesn't bother me as much if there's somebody in an emergency room telling the qualified medical personnel or translating for this person that may die, what that person needs. But when we start having courses and certifications and laws and signs and government-issued writings in another language, yes, that starts to get to me, and that does bother me. And quite frankly, yeah, there's a lot of money spent on that I don't think should happen. But in your unique situation where we're talking about treating people that literally may die if they don't get their point across to the treating physicians, got to tell you, it doesn't bother me as much.
See, everybody, Eric's not evil.
But you're saying if you're going to be on
No, go ahead, follow it up.
No, well, you know what, and I agree with that, except the majority of people that are coming into the emergency room aren't going to die. I'm talking, and I work in a pediatric emergency room. They're coming in for sore throats. They're coming in for colds. They're coming in.
Yeah.
So yes, I absolutely agree with you if it's a life or death situation. But
so if they're allergic to something, couldn't they die if they can't get their point across to you that they're allergic?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's Eric's point.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Now, we hear you loud and clear. You know, so far, being needless to say, just based on the results of the blog, it's certainly so far overwhelmingly in favor of English only, and we appreciate the call. Let's hear what Joel from Boynton Beach has to say about that. How are you, Joel?
I have a question concerning General Reserve. He's getting back to the subject of HOAs, but the question is, we have a reserve study which tells you how much allocate each year. Does the board have the right to allocate any amount of money they want, or are they obligated to follow the reserve study?
I don't think they're obligated to actually follow the reserve study. They should certainly use it as a guide. There's nothing in the statute that says that they must use that very specific reserve study and the numbers contained therein. But needless to say, if a reserve study shows that you need a new roof in a year, but the board decides to say, we're going to ignore that. We think the roof still has a 20-year life expectancy. Certainly the board is breaching their fiduciary duty in that regard by completely ignoring a report by a qualified expert. And they can put the unit owners in harm's way in that regard.
Okay, so there is some liability there based on what the reserve study says, but they do have the right to change the figure.
Correct. And get more than one reserve study if they don't agree with it. That happens from now on, that, you know, sometime and again as well. Okay.
Right. How often should your reserve study be changed?
I believe there was in the statute, there was a requirement that it be done every couple of years. That's no longer the case. It's really up to the board at this point. Okay? Should it be done every couple of years? Sure. You know, probably a good way of thinking is, you know, interestingly enough, the insurance statute, I believe, requires like an appraisal of the property every 3 years.
That's when you should do it.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea if you followed that suggestion.
I mean,
and did a reserve study.
Reserves are people just don't understand how important they are. I mean, they really are, especially if you're a community that's been around for a while. And you know, sometimes you have communities that are mixed with a couple different generations, and a lot of people want to waive reserves that are more active in the community, but it might not be good for the long term future of the building. And it's just something everybody should really educate themselves on.
You're right, and as a matter of fact, Scott, we teach this at the course all the time. What happened was a couple of years ago in the condo setting, when Hurricane Wilma was the last big storm to blow through, Hurricane Wilma comes by, creates a tremendous amount of damage throughout South Florida. And in those communities that didn't have reserve funds, what was happening is associations, whether it was to have their insurance deductible, to meet their insurance deductible, or to simply make repairs to the property, they didn't have the money. So they had to pass huge special assessments. As a result, the state was getting calls all day long saying, my board just passed huge special assessments, I can't pay it, and they're threatening to foreclose on my home. Can the association do that? And they were surprised to hear a direct answer from the state saying, yes the association can.
I mean, that's basically around the time I started working for you, Eric, and it seemed like we were always, you know, in there. We weren't foreclosing on people for, you know, not paying their maintenance on an investment property. We were foreclosing on real homes, but for significant amounts of money because they were delinquent in special assessments. And, you know, the fact is, Eric, you just said you teach it at the seminar. I remember when you and Ralph sat down to really go over the reserves and all the different methods with respect to pooling and everything with me. When I first started with you, it seems like, you know, hundreds of years ago now. But yeah, I mean,
just feels
my grasp of reserves, though, really comes from sitting through a few of the seminars,
right.
So everybody, if you come out to the seminars, you're going to learn this stuff.
Absolutely.
Trust me.
Joel, also, let me just go back and raise another point. As a result, you know, the people from the state would say, well, did you vote against the funding of reserves? And people would say, yes, but I had no idea that as a result I could lose my home. So as a result of that, the condo law was actually changed, and now when a condominium unit owner is forced to vote on whether or not to waive reserves, when that proxy form is given to them, it must include a big warning in boldface type, capital letters larger than any other font size on the screen, that says, I understand that by voting to waive reserves, I may be subject to large special assessments somewhere in the future.
Yeah, listen, people, reserves are basically saving for a rainy day, and we get some of the worst rainy days here in South Florida, so it would be pretty smart to reserve for them once in a while.
Right. All right, let's do this. I hear the music playing. We're about to go into the bottom of the hour break. We're taking your calls on the Spanish-English-French controversy. We'll talk about more thefts in condo associations, this time not from a manager, not from a board member, but from a developer.
Whew, I thought you were going to say lawyer.
No, God forbid. And we'll take your calls on anything and everything else going on in the world of condos and HOAs. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
With so many management companies promising that they can help your community, how do you know which one to choose? How about starting with the one that has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years? How about starting with Association Services of Florida? As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Associations and residents alike look to Association Services of Florida's value-added services, attention to detail, and local expertise for continuous community improvement. Our mission statement says it best. Providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide, Association Services of Florida's superior senior management team has more than 55 years of combined experience managing communities and providing expert support to management, staff, and board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community and to find out how Associa can help your condo or HOA, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And visit our website at AssociaFlorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry. Tired of having your security company literally fall asleep on the job? Upset that your current security company only reacts after a crisis, but fails to prevent it from happening in the first place? At Alpha Security Services, we want Florida community associations to know that not all security companies are the same. We're the ones with more than 30 years of combined military and law enforcement experience. We demand an interactive approach from our security personnel and expect them not just to watch traffic come in and out of your property, but to also get out from behind the booth and patrol the community in order to keep it safe and give the owners the peace of mind they deserve. Associations today want more than just a passive approach from their security company. They want help enforcing parking restrictions, issuing violations, and even arranging for towing when the need arises. At Alpha Security Services, this is what we do. Our staff are all licensed, fingerprinted, trained, and utilize the latest in security technology to protect the associations who we work with. We even monitor your property and our personnel in real time from the most technologically advanced command and control center in the business. Bottom line, we treat your home like it's our home. Check out our website at alphasecurityservices.com or call 954-809-3333. That's 954-809-3333 for a free security analysis and quote.
If you've ever thought your management company puts their interest ahead of your associations, speak to Condominium Concepts Management. Get in touch with a professional management company that doesn't own other companies they try to push on your community. Condominium Concepts simply negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all of the savings are simply passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help your association, not take control of it. Nobody knows your condominium community better than you do. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time where every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye toward reducing expenses in your community and saving every unit owner money. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners, always applying a common-sense approach. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Grays and HOAs, the second half hour of this heated show. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates. Taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We're going to talk about our seminars, which are actually done in English.
Yeah, yes, these are. And I see the phone lines are going bananas. Perhaps this topic has hit a nerve. Everybody just hang on another 2 minutes or so. Because as Karen said, let's just tell everybody about our seminars that are coming up. Because as you know, we always get a great response from people who are registering for our board of board certification seminars throughout the state. Everybody just remember, Florida law now provides that members of a condo board, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board. And you can even get certified 1 year before getting elected to the board. One way of getting certified, take our Condo Craze Board Member Certification course. It's the first course in the state that was written by an attorney and approved by the Florida DBPR.
Written by you?
Yes. And now we've certified nearly 3,000 Floridians who are eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board. It's fun. It's free. There's food served. You get to ask questions. I give you a summary of everything you learned. You leave with a certificate that's suitable for framing. And by the way, we got pictures all over our Facebook website. We got pictures on the show's website.
You even have a van.
We have a van now. Yeah, right. So look for the van. You know you're in the right place.
So come and be one of the beautiful people.
Yeah, right.
You know. Listen, everybody, before you know it, election season will be in full swing here in South Florida. So you should all come out and learn about the duties you as board members have with respect to budgets, reserves, financial reporting, board meeting procedures, and really there's tons more. We even added some information this year about making material alterations to your common elements. We added some stuff about competitive bidding with respect to getting contracts, and even a whole little part about emotional support animals that everybody is usually interested in. And, if your board's really interested in actually getting certified at your condo or maybe at our law office, you can give us a call at Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and we can make arrangements to bring the course to you.
All right, everybody, if you have a pen, the next seminar is at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on November 8th. That's actually a month from tomorrow, November 8th at 6 o'clock p.m. Then December 1st at 10 in the morning, we'll be in the Waldorf Astoria in Naples, and a really beautiful place. And on December 15th, back in Orlando at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios. So if you want to register for either the Hollywood, the Orlando, or the Naples seminars, just go to the show's website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Register, and our office manager, Brian, will send you back email confirmation. On that note, how about we go to Elizabeth in Boca Raton? How are you, Elizabeth?
Good afternoon. My question is pertinent to an HOA and their reserves. And the question deals with, are our reserves restricted or unrestricted? And two facts that may affect your answer are, one, our association was incorporated in 1997, and therefore the state statutes weren't in existence when it was incorporated, and we don't have that clause in our documents that says that we accept the changes in them.
Yes, amended from time-to-time language, yes.
Right, and we've been told by an attorney that the state law applies when the issue is procedural.
Yes.
And when it's substantive, then our documents prevail.
Yeah, okay, and that's a good point. And I would agree with the gentleman or lady that told you that as amended from time-to-time language, probably wouldn't need to be included in your declaration of covenants in order for the reserves to apply. Why? Because it is procedural. by requiring or by adopting, let's say, the provisions of 720 that allow for the funding of reserves, then it's not affecting anybody's substantive rights. It's a procedural issue, and therefore it probably would apply, despite the fact that your governing documents don't have the as amended from time to time language. Okay?
Terrific. Then the only other thing is that no one's been able to find any categories of reserves that were handed from the developer to the association's time of incorporation. So all of our reserves have been established by board since 1997.
Okay.
So does that affect your answer at all?
Well, again, under the statute, the board can actually do reserve funding, and then the unit owners would have the right to waive reserves. And then once the board does it, that stays into effect unless it's, again, voted down by the unit owners. Okay.
So if they've put money into specific categories like pool and parking lot, then boards cannot go and
use it
for operating budgets or anything else. They can't take the money.
Of course not, Elizabeth. You know that. You're a longtime listener.
Well, yes, but the reason I ask is that we've had a different legal opinion.
Yeah, no, can't borrow from Peter to pay Paul unless you're using the pooling method. Okay? Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye, Elizabeth.
All right, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. How about we go to Jim in Delray?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding a marina in an HOA. We've got this is in Martin County, a development of 67 houses. We have a marina of 20 slips. You have to be a homeowner in the HOA to own a slip. And it's my understanding that there was some legislation passed this year that'll change the way the submerged land fees cost. Commercial marina, but now the new legislation treats us for a private home with a private dock. But it hasn't seemed to, our submerged land lease just got sent for renewal, and it hasn't seemed to change the cost of that submerged land lease, and I thought that it would have.
I've got to tell you, Jim, I don't know. I have no idea if there's new legislation that was passed that would affect a submerged land lease for your community. I would tell you I'd be glad to research it during this week and come up with an answer next week, but I'm certainly not aware at this point of any new changes to submerged land leases that would affect the rights of dock spaces or the ability to use dock spaces in an HOA. Okay,
yeah.
That's something I can certainly get back to you with next week.
You know, I called off at the top of my head. What I'll do is I will call you back next week with the legislation number that did, in fact, change the way HOA private marinas, not for profit, no gas dock, not renting docks to commercial vessels and so forth, would change the way it was handled. But
right.
I'm sorry, I don't have the legislation.
No
number.
Problem.
Maybe
that's okay. We look forward to your call next week. I can tell you, Scott, I know you've been working with me on some of these issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start a fight in an HOA community or even in a condo,
yeah,
especially where people have boating interests.
Oh, yeah.
Create less boating slips than there are people who have boats, and that will start a
dogfight.
War in the community. I mean, we're involved in one case now where a president of one of the associations is accused of actually going out there with like a sledgehammer and busting up somebody's docks with a sledgehammer.
Whoa.
Getting caught doing it, and let's just put it this way, big problems as a result.
Criminal okay. mischief.
Yeah, you're not kidding. All right, let's take our final break of the hour. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Still lots to talk about in our last segment. See you in a few minutes.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? In South Florida, you have access to the finer things. Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Want to feel safe and secure in your home or community, but don't want to go broke?
Call Legacy Protection Group.
Do you want insured, mature, experienced, and professional men and women protecting you? How about hiring a company that established its own state-certified training academy that produces the best-trained security officers in the industry? Legacy Protection Group protects condominiums, homeowners associations, businesses, and can even provide personal security. So if you need armed or unarmed security officers, Legacy can give you a complimentary security survey. Let Legacy Protection Group reduce your security budget while increasing your security. Security service. Legacy Protection Group is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and will work diligently with you to ensure that all your security needs are surpassed. So call 1-888-516-0918. That's 1-888-516-0918. Or visit online at legacyprotectioncorp.com. Legacy Protection Group, the security company that always puts the client first while putting nothing ahead of your safety.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Why can't we be friends? And I'll speak English. It's Karen Curtis here on Big Dog 850. Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs. And I'm here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, on that note, why don't we go to Gail in Boca Raton. How are you, Gail?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Okay.
I love your show.
Thank you so much.
I love it.
Thank you.
We have an HOA, and we understand that they have a part-time secretary who's being paid $60,000 a year. That's absurd. However, when we asked to see the HOA's books, you know, to look at the expenses. They say, no, we can't do that.
Oh.
And I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would be wrong.
Well, you know what? It's funny because the statute is written so poorly. The access to record statute. Basically, it's designed, I'll tell you what the intent, at least in my mind, of the statute basically means. The intent, because there's something in the statute, Scott, that says you can't see, like, employee and payroll records.
Yeah.
So you can't see, that was designed to prevent this person who's getting paid from you seeing their Social Security number and any private information
it says
about
payroll,
them. It says payroll records, actually, also. But you can see. But this is the silliness of the statute. It does go on to say something to the effect like, you can see reports that the association puts out that details what these people earn.
I mean, quite frankly,
it's silly.
Just check what the association's, you know, payables are, and you know, go to the bank, see what they're debiting every month to pay a certain people. And
so
there
to
you
me,
go.
You can't see the actual. You know, payroll records, whatever those payroll records might be.
Uh-huh.
But you are entitled to copies of any report that the association produces, which shows what the people earn each week.
Okay. So just go and ask them for a report on what
And I think, any documentation or report that indicates what these people make. But if you're going to actually ask to see a copy of the check, the way the dumb statute is actually written, there's a good argument that you're not entitled to see that. But again, I think the intent of that statute was maybe to protect the privacy interests of the employees, to make sure you don't get to see their Social Security numbers or their home addresses or things like that. To me, it certainly cannot mean when you are paying their salaries that you can't see what they make. And any association.
What if they refuse?
Well, then in this case, you can't file an arbitration action against the HOA. You're forced to go to court, unfortunately. Only thing you can do is go to court. You wind up filing a lawsuit, and the loser pays fees to both sides. So, you know, you got to roll the dice and take your chances. But there's no question about it, at least in my mind, that the unit owners are absolutely 100% entitled to know what the people make who work for the association. Oh, I think we lost the call. All right, how about we go to Baron? Baron, how are you? Hello?
I'm going to give you one free call for one question.
Just go right ahead,
legal
Baron.
Legal question.
Who are you calling?
To lawyers.
Live radio is great, isn't it?
Hi, Baron. You're on the air. Baron.
Baron, it's your last shot. Are you there? Baron's wife might have just shot him, for all I know. All right, how about we go to Gloria in Boca? What'd you call the lawyer for?
Hey. Hi, good afternoon. I'm not sure if you can help me, but we are currently renting an apartment in a gated community. The gated community is supposed to provide a security card, but typically he's only there after 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, last week we suffered a burglary. Thank God we didn't lose that much, but, you know, that's not the point. Do we have any claim against the leasing office for not providing adequate security?
Those are tough, oftentimes very tough cases. Now, you're saying, is this a rental community or is this in an HOA?
It's actually a rental community. However, some of the condos have already been purchased.
Okay, let's put it this way. Let's say that it's a rental community, for argument's sake, okay? And they gave you some paraphernalia that tells you that the property is always under 24-hour surveillance or security, or certainly gave you a feeling that you're moving into a community that's under constant security. And it turns out that they didn't provide that. And it turns out that there's been burglaries in the community, or there's been, you know, even worse, physical or sexual assaults in the community, and notwithstanding that, they did nothing to protect the rights of those tenants, then yes, you're potentially talking about a cause of action for negligent security. There's a cause of action in Florida for negligent security that you may in fact be able to file against the rental community. In community associations, though, it's sometimes very often difficult to get that same cause of action against an association, because oftentimes board members are very much protected by what's called the business judgment rule. So oftentimes very difficult to get personal liability against a board member in that regard, and it might be easier to get it in a rental community rather than in an HOA. I hope that kind of answers your question. Yeah.
I think so, but let me just pinpoint one thing you said. The key is if there is anything in writing to denote that they would have had or should have had 24-hour or promised they would have 24-hour. Thank you so much.
Sure, that's potentially a fraudulent inducement action, Scott, right?
Oh, yeah.
If they suckered you into signing that lease telling you that they're going to give you 24-hour security, and that's the reason why you decided to move in there and they took that away from you.
Could be an inside job, though.
Who knows? I've had cases like that, believe it or not.
They're out there.
All right, let's do this in our few minutes that we have left. Let's kind of wrap the show up and finalize with a little bit of the theme that we spoke about earlier today. And we'll talk about an issue that Scott and I definitely agree on and definitely feel passionate about. And I'll preface the story we're about to tell by asking a simple question. You know, should someone who's in the country illegally be allowed to serve on the board, even if they speak fluent English? But let's take it up a notch, and we'll ask it this way. Suppose if someone who's in the country illegally, but they passed the Florida bar exam, should they be allowed to be the attorney for your association? Or how about simply being an attorney in the state of Florida? Because Scott's going to tell us about a case that was actually argued in front of the Florida Supreme Court the other day on this very issue that's raising a lot of eyebrows, not just here, but around the country.
Yeah, a 25-year-old man by the name of Jose Godiz Samperio, I got that right, came to this country from Mexico when he was 9 years old. He has been a model citizen, even graduated from law school, and better yet, even passed the Florida bar exam. The problem is, even though he certainly meets all the requirements to become a licensed attorney here in Florida, he can't get his law license from the state because he is simply an undocumented immigrant.
Yeah, and here's the bottom line, as Scott was saying. This young man was brought here through no fault of his own at age 9, and now, you know, he may be here illegally. But this guy has done everything to make himself a proud and productive American. He simply wants his license to practice law after working hard his whole life. But apparently the spectators at the Florida Supreme Court oral argument who observed the proceedings, they believe that unfortunately this young man is facing an uphill battle.
Well, I see that some of the justices believe that if they agree to give this young man a law license, they will actually be violating federal law.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. But the Florida bar, who is actually in favor of giving this young man a license to practice, they argue that the Florida Supreme Court is the ultimate decision maker, not federal law, as to who gets to practice in the courts of this state. Yeah. They want the federal government out of it.
Yeah, I, for one, can't imagine not giving this guy his license. How is it the fact that he is illegally here is his own fault for something that happened when he was almost a baby?
Of course.
You know, why penalize him for, you know, possible actions his parents may have taken when you know, he's the kind of guy we want in this country.
Exactly.
You know?
Scott, we're definitely on the same page.
Except for the lawyer part, right, everybody? But no, come on. This guy should be be a licensed. Come on.
Listen, I'll go on record. I'm certainly in favor of immigration laws, but here's the truth. We haven't enforced our immigration laws over the years. No administration has. And I don't think we start enforcing them with this young kid who's a model and an exemplary citizen. You know, does it make sense? This kid should go to school here in Florida and law school in Florida and become qualified and well-trained in our schools, only so that now we try to prevent him from practicing law or kick him out of the country. Isn't this, like Scott was saying, exactly the kind of kid that we want to attract to this country? It's absurd, and I'm hoping somehow the Florida Supreme Court can come up with a way to reward this kid and give him a license. By the way, he's not asking for a handout. He's not asking for government assistance. He's not asking for a free ride.
He just wants Glazer's job.
That's right. His kid worked his butt off to become a lawyer, and I say let him be a lawyer.
But didn't Obama pass a law that you could, if you were brought in as a kid, and then now
Obama did give him an exception, so the Supreme Court justices, the new Obama, may hang their hat on that, whether or not that exception gets him the ability to get his license.
He's been here since he was 9.
Good show today, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We'll see you again. By the way, when we get a ruling on the Supreme Court issue, we'll certainly let our listeners know. Have a great week, and thanks for tuning in to Condo Craze and HOAs. See you next week.
I've seen you around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I remember you when you drank my wine.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be
friends? Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108.